The Philly Cheese Stack is back at McDonald's and it's still intensely cheesy. Imagine the cheesiest thing ever. Now cover it in cheese. Add two beef patties, cheddar cheese sauce, crispy onions, and even more cheese. The Philly Cheese Stack. Did we mention it's cheesy? Available until the 16th of March 2026 from 11 a.m. Fees apply to delivery orders. Price and participation may vary, subject to availability.
Hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. Hope you're having a great week. Looking forward to a great weekend. Today is an ALN classic episode. That's right. We're throwing it back to the old days of the podcast. We had some bangers, some hitters, some legends come through the show. So we thought we'd dig deep and throw it back to some of those insane, hilarious, fun episodes. So enjoy the hell out of this episode. Of course, follow the podcast at ALN Podcast on Instagram and Twitter, at Adam Ray Comedy on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Enjoy the episode. Enjoy your week.
Hey, it's Herbert. And you're listening to the About Last Night podcast, you slippery little son of a bitch. Oh, it's comedy in your ears, which we all love.
You're listening to the About Last Night podcast with my boy, Adam Ray.
I feel like you know what my voice sounds like, but you know.
Yeah, no, it just had a, it definitely had an effect on it that I didn't care for. are we recording?
Like a pandemic effect? Like a panic, like I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow kind of effect? Or like no, a true like vocal?
No, like a distortion that, see, I just got a karaoke machine and so I'm.
Trust me, I've seen it.
I know, I'm really into it. And there's all these effects you can put on your voice to sound legit great. And if you have like an okay voice, like I have an okay voice, but I can sound like real good with some like echoiness, you know, because people sound good in music because it's like 10 of their voices on top of each other and people don't realize that.
Oh, yeah. Is there like auto-tune on this machine? Like how pro is it?
Well, it's supposed to be that pro, but it's not. It just even an echoey effect will make you sound good. There is like a little bit of auto-tune on it, but it's not the greatest machine, but I got it for free, so I can't complain, but I will not promote it. You know when you get something for free and you're like, I appreciate it, but this is not a good product, so I'm not gonna like put the word out if you don't mind. Thank you for letting me try it.
wait, now
this is a waste of your money to invest in this. And by the way, as a shark, I have to be shrewd and I'll say I'll pass.
But you are at the level, Nikki, to where like you post about using this thing or at least talking about it, even negatively. It's almost like being dismissive to someone and having them like you more because of that. They're going to be like, oh, she fucking hates us. You know what? 50 G's just for one song. What, 10 seconds of her singing and enjoying?
I know. I should ask for that. They really like, but the thing is, I don't believe in the product. That's what I'm telling you. So I got this karaoke machine and it wasn't good enough. So then my dad just like kept replacing pieces of it because it's not good.
It's a dad move,
but my dad has tons of equipment because he plays music. And so eventually we just replaced the thing. We're not even using it. I'm just singing karaoke with my dad's equipment in my living room every single day. Like it's therapy.
It looked like it the first time. I was like, oh, this looks like fun. And then like as I continued to watch, I was like, oh, she's getting stuff out right now.
Yeah, dude. Like, and it's so much more than I'm posting. Like I do it every day. I sing about 8 songs a day. And it's no joke. That's putting in the time.
Well, let's be honest. Daytime karaoke isn't for people that are looking to come sing a song and get back to their day. It's like this is like an afternoon. You know, you're punching in, you're punching out, you're trying to beat your best.
It does feel like kind of a grind because I am an artist and I do have to get in there and I really have to focus because it does take focus. If I'm going to phone it in and I'm on my phone and just kind of dawdling around and singing to it, No, I got to be plugged into the lyrics. I got to get them right. There's a skill involved in karaoke. You got to try. You got to act like you are performing. Like when I really pretend I'm Taylor Swift and like have a moment where it's like, just go big, Nick. Like try as hard as you can. Your mom and dad are walking the dogs. You know you got at least 15 more minutes to yourself. No one's ever going to see this. Just go wild. Like there are moments where I'm like, if I do that, at the end of it, I am exhausted. And it's like a good workout.
Oh,
it
yeah.
really is cathartic to pretend and to get that stuff out in like in singing. It's great.
What's more cathartic, singing with your folks in St. Louis, where I know you're hunkered down right now, or on tour? Which, by the way, I can only imagine what sort of. First of all, you know, just from hearing from friends that went to your last tour before we shut down, and how incredible it was, and how I had one friend be like a guy of his girl that he got introduced to you through, and he was like. Just watched a special and he was like, I did not like, he's like, how do you get that much right away? Like she's fucking. And I was like, she writes a lot. He's like, is that what it is? And I was like, yeah. How else do you think she's coming up with? He's like, I don't know. That's why I asked. I was like, that's why I told you. She's prolific at that.
You know, it's so funny because I do know that a lot, I generate a lot of material, but I really do attribute it to just having an inability to not do it every night. And like, yeah. if you work out every day, you're gonna get fit as fuck.
Yeah.
And so I'm just like, I get bored if I was doing the same material. I couldn't do it at the stamina I do it. I would hate my jokes. And so I have to generate new material just to enjoy it.
When did that flip for you, by the way? Cause I totally agree with that. If I go on stage and do any, like, there has to be I don't even know what the percentage would be, but, and whether it comes from audience interactions or actual material, like if I know that there's not something, there's no point in even stepping on stage.
If what?
If you don't.
Sorry, I was like working on my fan and I'm like, I feel like I'm trying to look like Beyonce right now. It's just not working for me.
By the way, how many first dates have you been on over the course of your whole life to where I did that as a dude and you totally spaced out because you were just like, dude, fuck this guy. And he finishes and you go, wait, what?
And then yeah, I do it all the time. Honest. I don't try to be like, yeah, okay, cool. Like I hate when people do that to me and I'm like, you're zoning out. Sorry. But I knew it was a good question, and now I don't even remember what you're saying.
Well, it was a question, and it was just piggybacking on us both agreeing that like being on stage without something new to talk about is is pointless.
It does.
And I was
like
asking, when did that switch for you? Was it like a right away, or were you like 5 years in after kind of like doing stuff?
And yeah, you're right. There's a switch. Yeah. It happens. I think. I guess. I don't know. I guess when in the past 3 years, maybe I've been that kind of greedy about it and being like, I just can't. And it's not even like, I just can't do it. I just don't have the energy to fake bits and to just act enthusiastic about something I don't care about. Like it will make me so sad and depressed to be that fake that it's not worth it to me, like mentally. And it's survival. Like I write when I'm backed into a corner. That is, all my best jokes are always written on the way to a show when I'm driving to like a show that I needed to like have new material for.
Oh, wow.
Or last night I did my first stand-up set on Zoom.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. I did it on Friday. Wasn't it great?
I was so nervous.
Oh, 1,000%.
First year of comedy nervous?
That is so crazy you said that. 1,010%. I'm sitting there like backstage and they're like, and I'm watching and I'm just like, fuck, am I like, it was such a weird muscle that hadn't gotten flexed in that like setting, but it was also just, I don't know, like doing podcasts and a few other smaller Zoom things, but still that's, it was set up almost, you know, as close to a show as they could do it with like, I was like, oh fuck. Like,
For me, it took maybe a minute to lock in, like a minute or two to just get seconds, my bearings. Yeah. And then it was like, oh, this is stand up on a delay. You just got to wait for the laugh 2 seconds longer.
Yeah.
And in that 2 seconds is a lot of fear. Like, you know what I mean? You're like, come on. Was it good? Come on. I get impatient in that 2 seconds.
Oh man. Yeah. My stepdad logged on and he's like, you finally went at a pace I could understand. And I was just like, yeah, I mean, I definitely did have to slow down. He's like, you talk too goddamn fast. He's like, but you know, I was like, well, you know, my real dad seems to agree with my speed, but, Yeah. Okay, good. There was a delay on that joke. You were like, is this real? Is he trying to?
Yeah.
But there was something about it that was like seeing at least a face like back at you. Wasn't that like,
I saw my own face, which I loved. I was just like looking in the mirror the whole time. Just like, and you know, another thing, I was like hitting my angles. There's a fun part to all of this. Like FaceTiming is for narcissists. Like guys, I've always said this, guys I've dated a lot of narcissists. I think, you know, I feel like girls tend to diagnose guys.
What's a tell for a guy?
They love to FaceTime. They love it. They love FaceTiming because they found a way to look at themselves while talking to you.
Oh my God.
And it's like, it really, the whole time they're always just kind of like, and it got you. And the number one thing is too many selfies. A guy that has too many selfies, it's just, that's a huge red flag.
Oh, I completely agree. Man, there's even comics that post a lot of the like solo, just, and you're like, man, you gotta like,
girls are, I don't know why, but girls are some, I give them the pass with selfies, but a guy, and I'm not saying that there aren't, that guys that take selfies don't deserve love, but just not from me. I think it's just a weird, but I've been so attracted to guys that do it, and I will continue to be, despite myself.
What would you be more turned off from, right? So your selfies obviously perturb you a little bit. So if a guy sent you three selfies in a row or three dick pics in a row, what gets you more just like, okay, I can't believe
that's a great question. I do want to differentiate between selfies exchanged to each other for each other, you know, and selfies on Instagram.
Okay.
If you go to a guy's Instagram and it's all selfies, that's a red flag. A selfie, a guy sending you selfies is sweet.
Okay. Yeah. Right.
Because I will tell you, I was just reliving this moment because I'm putting it into a script right now. But one time I texted a guy a selfie that I liked and I was like kind of dating him. And he was kind of like getting like, he just wasn't responding as much and kind of turning into an asshole. And I texted him, I like sent him a cute selfie where I looked so hot and like so cute. And he wrote back like 2 hours later, going to bed.
Whoa.
Right?
So you followed up. What did you send back after you said that?
Oh, I never, ever followed up. He had to come like chasing me back because that was like, I think that was that was definitely like a final straw moment in his face later.
This, are you getting flooded with memories? I know you joked about it on Bill Maher, which was incredible, by the way.
Thanks.
Especially because he opened with saying you're one of his favorite comics, which is like,
Come on.
You could see in your face how genuinely you were like, whoa, thanks, man. That's
honestly, I blocked it out until you just said it again.
Oh, sorry.
Like, no, I, it's too much to handle. I know that like he's my dad's favorite. Like Bill Maher is my dad's favorite person alive. When I had my dad on my show, Not Safe, he was hooked up to a lie detector test. And it's a really funny segment from my show. I put my parents on a lie detector.
Yes.
Yeah. And to calibrate the test, because they have to ask you like a question to make sure it just works. It's a question they know the answer to.
Yeah.
And my question to test my dad was, do you love Bill Maher? And he was like, yeah. And then the guy gave me the thumbs up and I'm like, okay, the machine works. That was how he calibrated it. And so then I'm taping Bill Maher in my dad's office and my dad's in the next room as I'm like interviewing. It was like a really cool thing because I'm living with my parents right now.
Yeah. I was going to say that's even,
it was,
I don't even know where you rank that for him as far as like to do the show in his house and have, so Bill Maher is basically in your, you know, in his house. Like, did he come and like knock on the door and try to be like, can I like pop in and just be like, cause it's that cash, right?
Oh, like my, yeah, no, they are very good about being like, do your thing. And like, they were just waiting in the next room, just like being quiet and like, and then I walked in and I was like, it was good. And they were like, you know, that kind of thing. But it's so weird, like taping TV shows from my parents' house, which I'm doing Conan coming up. And I'm like,
nice.
I give it. And the thing is, like, I try hard on these it's exhausting. Sometimes you're just like, I kind of don't want them to ask me. And I don't mean to be like, I'm not grateful, but sometimes I'm like, because when you get asked to do things, sometimes you have to do them because the experience is so cool. Have you ever said yes to something that you're like, I don't really want to do this, but I cannot do Dancing with the Stars season 27.
Did you get asked?
No, I was on the show because they asked, and I'm like,
oh, that was season 27. I thought there was another one, and you were saying I.
No.
Oh, yeah, no.
I'm crossing, fingers crossed, they asked me again.
I mean, I did that Justine Marino's funny dance show with Brad for on E, which is not Dancing with the Stars, but like it was one of those. Our choreographer was the guy who choreographed for Britney and Janet Jackson.
Dude,
and
that's the coolest show ever. Has your episode aired yet?
Oh, yeah. I'll
How was
you,
it?
I'll send you a couple of it. It was one of the most fun things.
I'm so jealous that they didn't ask me. I think it's the most fun show ever. I had no idea this was even a show.
Oh, yeah. And it's like an hour long. And there's like they did all this behind the scenes. I mean, it's, you know, Dancing with the Stars-esque, but meets lip sync battle. And also just goofier. You know, it's for the comedy.
Oh, my God. I'm dying to do that show.
They'll do another one. I think it's crushing for them. It's so.
Oh, I'm so glad because that's so fun. When I saw that, I was like, I can't believe this exists. And I'm dying to do it. All I want to do is dance. I had a dance closing out my special or my, you know, the special I'm working on.
Yeah.
On tour.
So why? And that's I was wanted to ask, like, where did that idea come from? First of all, didn't know Andrew could fucking move and shake like that. Like,
yeah, Andrew's got good moves.
Yeah.
Andrew Collin, shout out.
Shout out. Super funny. I don't know if agile is the right word. Just knows his body.
Yes, very comfortable in his own skin. He does have good moves. There's no denying it. And he was a part of the dance. Yeah, I just decided to close out my show with a dance because I was like, I can do anything I want. Like, who cares? And I really, if I had my way, I'd be Taylor Swift. I don't want to be a comedian, really. I want to be Taylor Swift. And this is the way I can be Taylor Swift for a moment at the end of my show. Because I've earned it, because I'm a good enough comedian that if I want to dance at the end, you're going to watch me dance. And it's not even funny. It's like, I'm just dancing. And it's still a spectacle and it's still something I put work into artistically. It's not my forte, but man, do I look forward to it. It's the best part of my night I'm on tour.
Is it like a reward? Like you feel like, all right, I crushed that show. I get to do this in like...
It
almost makes you feel like, you know, you'd feel bad if you did that and you kind of didn't give the show, you know, you could give, right? And you're like, oh, I'm still going to, like, I don't even want to do this because I know I didn't. Is that factoring at all or no? Is it?
Oh, like I still have to end on a dance even if I don't close as strong as I want to.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's been times where like a dance is not necessary. And then it's just so funny that we're dancing in this like casino with
people
getting
into it.
No, people love it. And people are kind of like confused because it really comes out of nowhere. There's no like precedent. It's not like I end the story, my set, and I'm like, and that's when I taught myself to dance. And then it like cues. It's just like at the end, I'm like, I'm like, you guys eat ass. Ladies, eat ass. I think I end with like an eating ass bit. And then I'm like, and hit it, DJ. And then I'm just like, Andrew Collin. And then it just like turns into the show. But it was turning into something, you know, it was like I was building it as I went on the road, and it would have eventually been something that it will never be now. And I mourn that, but I'm also like, well, what's next?
By the way, coincidentally, Taylor Swift ends her shows by screaming eat ass and then starts dancing. So I see where you got it from, and it's maybe you're paying homage to her. how much do you just straight up? And you can skip if you are just so tired of this question. But I want to know from you because, again, you're like a true up on stage. Like when you come to L.A.
Skip.
And you're...
Just kidding. Just kidding. Just anything
just
you would ask.
Spray this fucking laptop down for that shitty question. Which is something about like missing... Again, like when you come to L.A. and you're doing a bunch, you're doing your show, you up, your serious show, which is great, and Conan, whatever. You're still up on stage every night, which I'm always like, God damn, she's just packing it in and not missing an opportunity to work. And so because of that, how much do you truly, because you see people now posting like old stand-up pictures and just being like, I fucking miss this. I'm posting it just so I can feel like what I feel if I'm posting those when we were doing it, just to, you know what I'm saying? Just to kind of get your brain, like
to remember who you were
and
like what you did and how fun it was. And to remember, I'm only remembering the good things too. I'm not remembering a lot of the shitty things, but
that's good.
But I'm not someone who's like, I'm dying to get back up there. You know, like I feel pretty artistically satisfied with the other things I'm doing, but what I don't miss is having to like go out every night. Like I've never once in my adult life, I've been doing this since I was an adult. I've never just you eat dinner and then you like stop like the day and you just kind of like go to bed and you like merge into your bed. Like we're doing that. Like I've never done that. I always have to go out. It's eat dinner and then go out. It's never a night off.
And having
if there
like,
is, it's because you're sick.
Yeah. Wow. Yes. And getting to actually plan an evening of activities or lack thereof. And really what's been awesome for me sometimes is like getting to the end of the night and just being like, I seriously have no game plan. Like the pods, the whatever work I was doing was daytime, mid-evening shit. And like, maybe it's like a hang. Maybe I want to hit up some buddies that I like talk to twice a year and do a Zoom hang with them or see people that posted about doing a Zoom hang and get jealous that I didn't get asked to be a part of it.
About last night.
Show them those guns again. Kiss them. Enjoy the rest of the episode.
I know you've been, first of all, your millionaire spot. You like, I got to tell you something, Nikki.
What, Adam?
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire is next to Classic Concentration with Alex Trebek, which I've been watching old.
Classic Concentration.
Oh, fucking pull it up. Just do a deep dive on the tube for you and see all the shows that you didn't give enough attention to. Classic Concentration, hosted by Trebek. First of all, before I tell you how great the millionaire shit was, that's one of my favorite shows. Classic Concentration and Trebek. The late 80s, early 90s were
pre-Jeopardy Trebek?
Oh, like not Gray Stash. Like, well, first of all, Stash.
How do you know this show? How old are you?
37.
But hasn't he hosted Jeopardy since like
he was doing
the late 50s?
He was doing it at the same time.
Okay. I'm kidding.
Oh, it's been show.
I didn't go low enough. That just seemed like I was stupid.
Hitting the right comedy number is very imperative.
It's important. I should have said 1937. That would have been the best number.
Also, you can tell I've been watching too much Jeopardy because I was like, that's not fucking right. Like, I was
like, saying, Jesus, like, I'm sorry. I just didn't phrase it in the.
What is that is bullshit. he got real handsy on this show.
Oh, really? All the game show hosts used to.
Man, he was like, put his hand on her back and then was like holding her hand as he was cutting the commercial. And at one point she says like he was like, oh, like I'm not going to bite. And she literally goes, I've heard about you, Alex. I mean, this moment is just living out there. And look.
Whoa, dude, where did you see this?
Oh, YouTube Classic Concentration. I'll pull the link back up.
So you just watched it. It wasn't like an isolated clip of like, watch Trebek Biden this woman. Like.
I mean,
I'm calling it Bidening.
Yeah, I know. God, fucking like shoulder rubs are one thing. Sniffing heads, I can't even understand where you're coming from with that. But
he just likes the aroma of shampoo. He likes a nice shampoo. He's a shampoo connoisseur.
Now let me ask you. Let me ask you this: if he said that as his explanation, would you take it, or would you go? At least he's owning up to it.
Honestly, if he were like, listen, I love the smell of shampoo. I lost my grandmother at a young age and I loved her so much. And I always remember the smell of her shampoo. And so when I've noticed that I tend to, when I get close to women, I tend to want to smell their hair. And I really realize that's probably made a lot of women uncomfortable over the years. And it is a weird thing that I have to talk to my therapist about. And as your president, I will be going to therapy weekly to, you know, work on myself so that I don't do that anymore.
That's great, Mr. Biden. But again, the question was, what is your stance on Afghanistan?
That's the city.
Okay. We're going to move on to Mr. Trump. Mr. Trump, he goes, I'm sorry. Can I get a head to sniff real quick? The millionaire thing was...
But yeah. He just smells a baby's head and then he's back in the game.
I mean, it's also the sniff isn't such a problem as when I see him like close his eyes and drift off into some sort of like it's the wafting in and then the like I've seen him in some videos take a sigh out. It's like, oh, dude, it's almost like it's giving him like it's refueling him somehow. He's just like Pantene from a 25-year-old and he just ingests it and just. I don't know what he's doing with it, but it's like you're savoring it too long.
I don't know what to do with any of it. It's such a nightmare out there.
I know. Wait, the millionaire thing. First of all, the set. Cool being on the set. Like, I don't know how much you enjoyed the show when it was like in its prime.
Yeah, I loved
but,
the show back okay. when it was on, like when I was in Regis. High school, I think it started. Yeah, with Regis. It was exciting.
It was exciting.
Yes, and it looked exactly the same. Like, it was done in the same way. It was right when the pandemic was starting. Like, it was the last shoot I did. And the people that mic'd me were like wearing hazmat suits. And they had to warn us, like, now the people mic'ing don't have corona. They're just like, they look like they're ready to get it. And any like, it was just like you were getting mic'd by like a person in a plastic suit. And so everyone was kind of scared, and it was a weird energy. But and there's no audience. It would have been cool with an audience, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And felt more like Millionaire. But this, you know, it was almost like there was something fun about it because it felt like we were just kind of flying by the seat of our pants, or they yeah. were at least the producers, because there it's like a sprinkling of like assistants and like production assistants. In like filling out the bleachers,
right.
but it was like kind of like the soup in terms of laughter, you know, like,
yeah.
So it was like a smattering, but it was also super tense because there was like a moment where I answered the wrong answer
right,
accidentally.
So break that down for me. So it was like, what movie has the longest, I'll cut to a clip of this.
All for the Birds. Which of these critically acclaimed films was made to look as if it takes place almost entirely in one continuous shot? 1917? The Two Popes, The Lighthouse, Judy.
Okay, I know that there was a battle scene that I watched a clip of that was done in one continuous shot, but that was just one scene. So that's what makes me a little bit worried about this. I have not seen any of these films, Dr. Drew.
Seen Judy and The Two Popes. That's definitely, those two are out.
The Lighthouse, I just know nothing about, so. Man.
Although the trailers I've seen for that, it's a lot of close-up cuts, so that
really?
Does, yeah.
What's it like? Do you know anything about the
no.
Lighthouse? Except
just a couple images in my head that may be wrong.
I'm gonna go nine.
I think you have to.
I mean, I could
to.
Use 50-50 right now, but why use it right now? I'm gonna go. Oh.
Oh. Ugh.
Should I do 50-50? I just feel like we were pretty sure of this.
We're pretty sure of this.
Okay,
yeah.
Lighthouse, final answer.
No.
Lighthouse, final answer. 1917, final answer. That's what I meant, 1917, final answer. No! No!
No!
No!
Unless it's what? Right.
Why don't we take a break and we'll figure out what just happened.
No, you all know what I meant to do. Oh, no.
We're going to take a break and we'll sort this out when we return to Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Oh, I'm going to throw up.
The longest, I think, the film was shot in one shot, right? Is that
yeah.
basically?
Yeah, which movie has a continual shot? And yeah.
It was Judy, The Two Popes, 1917, and The Lighthouse.
Yeah.
And you
and I knew
down.
That 1917, I'd seen a scene where there was a continual shot. And Dr. Drew had, and this was, I eliminated two of the other ones. So it was between The Lighthouse and 1917. Pretty much, you hear me kind of talk to Dr. Drew and decide, like, I'm going to go with 1917. We both agree that's the answer. Like, you kind of hear us agree that. And then I just, in answering, I go, I'm going to do it this way. And this is what I'm thinking, Lighthouse, final answer. Because I just was thinking, I was saying both the names so much when I was debating over it with Dr. Drew that I just confused it. And I locked in the wrong answer. And immediately, as soon as I said final answer, I go, no. And just like, I remember in the middle man. Of those no's, I was like, you're on TV, you lunatic. Like, don't have, like, control yourself. And I have to say, watching it, I like, it was the realest TV I've ever made.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
In terms of, like, raw. A moment that, I was just myself and there was no guard up, and that was as much as I was going to get because I really was fucking sad because I was like, you knew the answer. You didn't get to do all that. Like, you didn't get to hang out with Jimmy Kimmel and like have a big, like fun segment because you just talked too soon. I was so mad at myself. And then I literally started crying, which you can't tell because I have too much Botox, but like I literally It was like my forehead was frozen, but there was like tears dripping down my face, which you can't conjure. I literally was crying and because I was so embarrassed. And then they gave it to me. And then it looked like I like cried. And I didn't even think they were going to, I cried because I thought I was done.
Yeah.
And people were like, oh, of course the girl cries and you give it to her. But God. Then it worked. So yeah, I was like, now I've gotten out of tickets many a time.
That's so, yeah, you want to, yeah. I mean, I'm sure part of you wants to go all the way and like get to the million. Cause that's what the,
I mean, I wanted to get as much as possible, but I wanted to
just be funny.
Yeah. I wasn't going to take any stupid chances. I did not want to walk away with 30. That's all I wanted was not to walk away with a minimum of 32,000. That would have been like so boring to me.
Yeah.
So 125, I was like, yeah, sweet. You know, that's six digits. Great.
And it's for charity or do you get to keep it?
I gave it to a bird rescue.
Nice.
It was really a rash decision. I was being hounded. A lot of people are upset about me donating this much money to a bird rescue, but I had to pick my charity before the pandemic. It just looks insensitive due to the current climate when this show aired. So it looks like I'm just like, I'll just like, because I just said, Jimmy, I like birds. So I literally Googled bird charity and found the first website that looked like reputable, which is true because that's what I would do. You know, if there wasn't a pandemic happening, I like animals. I pick an animal I like. I type in the animal. Then I type rescue. Then I look for a website that doesn't look like it was made GeoCities. You know, I look for a stamp of approval from something. And then I go, yeah, them. And so I gave all this money to birds.
I mean, that's fucking cool. I didn't know that birds were in so much need of cash. Like, what's going on? What's happening with
They're
this species?
They're fucking strapped, dude.
What are they? What's going
birds,
on with them?
You know, there's nothing. Everything's wrong with every creature on Earth. You pick one, and there's something wrong with birds. There's birds that have to be saved. I gotta be honest with you. My initial reason for donating to birds was to rescue parrots, to rescue like birds, like tropical parrots that have been displaced and bred against their will and stolen from their nests, and really it's. It honestly is a really sad thing because parrots live to be like old as shit, you know, and people get them thinking, oh, I'm just going to get a pet. And then the people like die and their parrots outlive you. You have to have like a plan for your parrot. So there's so many abandoned parrots. And so I wanted to donate to a parrot charity that like, you know, takes care of these abandoned parrots that can't be returned to the wild. But then I in my Googling, I just didn't do a good job. And then I ended up donating to like wild birds, which I also love. But, you know, I'm not as concerned as about cranes as I am, like, cockatoos. But fuck I love all birds.
I mean, that was an incredible. I'll take things I didn't think you were going to say for $1,000, Alex. By the way,
I'll take, please don't touch me, Alex. Please keep your mitts off me. I've heard about you, Alex.
Parrot Charity sounds like they're playing Coachella. That's a great fucking band.
That is a great name.
Right? Do you ever when you're getting lost in your daytime karaoke sessions, do you ever just like fantasize about like going, because look, there's enough cuckoos out there that are like, Stamps, it might not even come back. And you're like, all right. I mean, you know, yeah, I think anything's really, but no. But I have talked to a couple comics that have jokingly, but then also been like, starting to think about what else I could do.
Yes.
And these are they're real comics. So I am not giving a lot of value to the conversation other than like, oh, it's a fun thing to talk about. But
what do you mean you're not giving value to it?
I don't think that
we're going to have to worry about that.
Yeah. And that's probably me. I'm a very glass half full, like optimist.
I love that. Yeah,
so that's why I think that
I'm going to knock over your half full glass right now. And tell you the truth about the matter.
Typical parrot lover.
You know what? You're fine. The thing is, you're fine because you've already have income in other ways. You've planned for this event just as I have.
Clearly.
You know, what do you mean?
Clearly, I'm wearing a Martin sweatshirt that I bought off the internet off some like random website.
But why would that be clearly?
I was making a joke.
But why was that? Why would a Martin sweatshirt mean you were clearly planning for this event?
Oh, no. I was saying that in line with when you said you've got income from other places.
Oh, yeah. Oh, clearly. Like, oh, you're rolling in and you're wearing a Martin sweatshirt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got it. Sorry. Zoom lag.
Boy. Hey, Adam, how'd the podcast with Nikki go? Great. My Martin sweatshirt bit fucking stopped.
No.
Oh, it was a bit? Well, no, I improvised it because we're having a nice flowy conversation. Oh, did she say it was Zoom lag? Yeah. Oh, that's on you, dude.
Dude, Zoom lag. Zoom lag, Glaze always says that. No, that was on me.
Okay, it's all good.
The thing is, yes, I am worried that stand-up's not going to come back because that was like fucking amazing money. Like I was starting to see the big bucks where I'm like, holy shit, if I just do this year, I can fucking retire kind of like, you know,
good for you.
Like more money than any of us should ever be making, to be honest with you. It's kind of disgusting, but
no, you're making a lot of people happy.
I know, but it's still, so does the garbage man. I'm very happy that I don't have garbage piling up. You know, like what I'm saying?
You're
like,
right. You're right.
So everyone has, I don't deserve the money, but anyway, I'll take it. It's the best. It's one of the reasons I do it, I think, is because I like to be financially secure. And I was preparing for this. I was ready because I was taking every gig, working my ass off, stockpiling money because I was just like, I just felt like it was going to go away. And I felt like, you know, like I was going to have to become multifaceted. You know, I can't just have one thing. I'm too scared. And my anxiety has like served me now because now I can do other things.
Wow.
But
yeah,
if I was 5 years into stand-up, can you imagine how hard this would be right now if you didn't have
Nikki,
a hold?
I think about that a lot, like how fortunate I am that like even as nervous as we were, you know, sharing we were for that Zoom thing a little bit, I go, thank God, though, like it's also I welcome those nerves sometimes because it's always, I think, just, you know, makes you just strap in and elevate your shit and go, all right. The nerves means I care about this and I just want to crush it. And
yeah.
And, but being able to like quickly shove that to the side and just go, and here we go, we're doing a show, like versus having true panic settle in where you're like, fuck, I booked myself on this hour Zoom show and I've like barely done 6 10-minute spots. Like how am I going to, or what, you know, whatever.
But it's, you know, it's all scary. That's the thing. Yeah. It was a similar scariness to even doing shows. So like, I would encourage any stand-ups out there that are like, you got to get stage time in. Just don't be too cool for a Zoom show. Just do it.
Yeah. I've been preaching that hard. Yeah. I think also
do it. Do whatever you can because you're going to fall behind if other people are doing it and locking into like, you got to. And I'm talking to myself. Like, that's why I did that spot last night. I just want to make sure I,
also,
you know,
it's tough to say.
Still do it.
It's tough to say no to a former presidential nominee. Like,
I know when Ben Glebe asks you to do, like, you think maybe someday he'll be president and I will be like, remember when I did your Zoom show?
Nikki, it's only 10 minutes. That's not Ben. That was like Trump.
That's a good,
I was trying to do.
Ben is more like, and he does a thing. He has a grr, which is a thing that people do when they say like things like burger and like Gerber. They put like a little, a grr. And Ben Glebe has a grr. And Jennifer Garner has a grr.
What is he saying? Gerber, by the way. That was your second
Gerber. Word. Like, it's just like when a lot of people have grrs. You'll start hearing them. Yeah. I have friends that have grrs, and I just make them say Gerber Baby Burger King. And I'm like, you have such a grr. 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 It's a thing that, like, girls do when they go, I'm a little girl. Like, grr. Grr. And guys do it too now. It's an inflection that many men use.
Oh my God.
Ben Glebe did it. He turns up the grr. He turns up the grr when he's on stage too.
By the way, that's definitely the name of his next special. Ben Glebe, turn up the grr. The grr.
I love Ben Glebe though. That's why I do those things.
I know.
I was ready to vote for Ben.
Oh, I donated to his fucking campaign right
me
out of
too.
The gate. Good for you.
I know, me too.
Because also, you know, the guy is so goddamn smart. And so, and
yes.
I see him like talk to political figures on his podcast or when all of a sudden he'll pop up on MSNBC and they're like, Gerber fucking burger guy, Ben Glebe is going to pass on healthcare. And he's like, that's, I was also at Jussie lately, you know? And then he like, you know, stays active in the conversation. And I'm like, put this guy in one debate.
I know.
Everybody.
That's all I wanted.
Oh God.
Yep. He's so good. He knows what he's talking about. He's smart. He's funny. He's charismatic. He cares. He like actually like cares about people. Yeah. He's 2024.
Yeah.
He could run then.
Yeah.
Like I just felt so exhausted for him. I ran into him a couple times while he was running for president, which is just so funny to say.
Oh, I know.
And he looked so fucking exhausted.
He looked tired.
Yeah. He aged like a president just by thinking of trying to even take the first step to have one millionth of a chance to be president.
Yeah.
I've never tried it anything as hard as Ben Glebe tried to be president. God love him.
Welcome to King's Guado Hotel. May I have your last name, please?
Good morning, ma'am. Can I help you?
Oh, my. What happened?
Bellmen are clumsy and stupid.
Stella Bellman. You've had this job since high school, right?
Well, actually, now I am the bell captain.
Oh. All right, kid. You ready for check-ins?
I was born.
I think he was going to say I was born ready.
Steve, the captain. Captain Steve.
The closest thing we have to a god on Earth, Gunther Gachamone!
It's worse than I thought.
He's a complete slime ball, right?
Oh, yeah, no question.
Do you feel my foot on your foot?
That's not me.
There's something under the table that feels like a foot.
What are you doing right now?
I'm working.
I got a promotion.
I just lied to Kelly.
Why would you do that?
I don't know, man. I just want another shot. Sid Whitman worked his way up the ladder and bought the hotel.
He's the boss.
Do me a favor. Take it easy on the bellman, would you?
I'd rather have crack guard melt my balls.
Take care, boys.
I mean, it's a huge scam. And those girls are in on it, too.
Don't you want to know what our bodies are capable of?
Yes, definitely. I just work here during the day, but my nights is off.
Let's do this!
Gunther is conning everyone with Spirit Fresh.
You broke into a guest room!
He's unacceptable.
He has been impersonating a manager, and that is a felony.
I don't think that's a felony.
He should be fired.
Get set.
I mean, I'm not sure he's ready for.
Shut up, bitch.
With our minds, we begin to urinate, and then, for real, into our pants. I'm unforgettable.
I saw you going through like your yearbooks. I think it was last night or two nights ago.
Oh yeah, I'm doing that every night. I'm gonna. Was I gonna call it? A walk down memory lane. I was going to something Love where it. I just take a thing from my past and I kind of like flip through it and talk about it.
Love it. My girl and I were watching those and really enjoying them. And you were, it was funny that it took me back to something you said on Bill Maher when you, I think it was your opening line when you were like, it's nice to be back in my room, just kicking it, like, you know, doing the things I did in high school, you know, live with my parents, developing an eating disorder, not coming. By the way, you gave that after he laughed. It was like Oh man, it was really great. And then we start doing the
thank you stuff.
I'm like, this is just another great of example of pulling from what's around you and giving like people, when you have a following like you do, it's like, yeah, people want to see this shit. And they, and like you went through this picture,
they forget like, that they do.
You're like, this is my first kiss. Like, I think it was consensual. So funny, by the way. Then you're like,
dude, it wasn't consensual.
Yeah, I mean, the
he
guy looked like
just attacked my face.
Yeah, he looked like a two-shoulder. He looked like he sniffed and then went in for the lips. And you're like, oh, that's all sniff lipper. And then and then there was a guy that you were like, think I hooked up with it. I think I touched his wiener. I was blackout.
Oh, yeah, I was blackout drunk. I remember grabbing a penis and being like, I think I know what they feel like, and I've never touched one. So the only reason I would know is because I did it last night. And like that, but it was that kind of blackout. So I think it might have been him.
So funny. Are you not only, I mean, first of all, do you enjoy going down memory lane and like pulling up old shit? Because like,
it's been fun.
Yeah, right? Having this.
It's hard to do. I wouldn't do it unless I was making content. Like, it's not something I like enjoy doing unless I'm forced to look at how funny it is and just look at it immediately through a comedic lens instead of like, huh. But what I did learn is that like, I wasn't as disgusting as I thought I was or, lonesome as I thought I was or tortured. Like I had a lot going on and I remember being pretty happy. It all kind of took a dive my senior year. Up until then I had the best fucking time in high school. It's actually a joy to go through.
That's awesome. do you keep in touch? You see people and you're like, oh, there's that. Like, how many?
Oh, yeah. I have my best friends. We all kind of reunited this past December. I decided to spend so much money on a trip and fly all my girlfriends out to Cabo. Oh, and like, God, we haven't talked in like over a decade, some of us, and just got the gang back together. And it was magical. We cried. We like danced. It was the best trip of my life, and we all connected. And so now we stay on a group text and we text each other like every day. And so we're like connected again. It's awesome. Do you keep in touch with your friends from high school?
Yeah. You know, strangely, I'm going to do a Zoom like birthday hang with a couple of my buddies later tonight. And it dwindled down. I think every year I went home, I had a nice group from high school, and I'd say like 5, 6, 7 of us kept in touch, like just for every year. And every time I would go home, would always see them in some fashion, whether they came over on Sunday to watch a Seahawks game or we'd go meet at a bar. I'd go to their house, see their new kid, whatever. Now it's probably two guys that I go every time I want to make an attempt. And one of them lives near where my folks live, so that makes it easy. But it's just like, it's weird.
It dwindles down.
Yeah. Well, I mean, also the ones that got like multiple kids now and move further away, I'm like, I'd rather see my sister, my nieces and nephew than drive an hour away to see your kids, which I feel bad about, but it's like,
I'm like letting go of feeling bad about not being there for everyone, because like I can have so much guilt over that, of not calling people and not reaching out and not being a good enough friend, aunt, sister. And it's just exhausting. I'm kind of letting myself off the hook for those feelings recently.
Do you feel bad when you don't return a guy's request for a picture of your feet?
That doesn't feel as bad to me. I really did run that through my head of like, have I ever felt bad? I do feel bad. There is something about when people write like a really long, like guys will write like a lot of text to me, like just putting it all out there and being like, listen, this is my first time I've ever DM'd a celebrity, and I'm not joking you. I've gotten that line, and it's not that it's not true. It does mean something. That means something, that out of every celebrity, they chose me to like come after and like
special.
Thank you for thinking that I was that approachable. I'm not, so I'm not going to even accept your request. But I will read it and not accept it. So you'll never know if I read it or not. But I did read it, and I do want to say that there are guys that like feel like they really see me, and they listen to my podcast, and they feel like they know me, and they really put like a good. And some of them do. Some of them could probably love me and be like the best men to me ever. But it's just like they live in Des Moines. It's like, well, that just can't happen. But I do think that I do feel bad sometimes when I see those, and I'm like, I'm never gonna write back to this guy, and I feel bad, but I can't.
Are you?
Because he put a lot of work into it. It's like a love letter, you know.
Yeah, I can't.
But imagine. I didn't ask for it.
You didn't. What's your ideal? Like during this pandemic too, I see people like flirting up a storm and hear different adventures about people through the apps. Are you finding that it's like, because you can't see? I mean, look, you could FaceTime with somebody.
I'm living with my old parents, so I can't go fuck anyone or risk it or sneak out. If I bring back COVID, because I had to just go
get it in,
it would be some desperate attempt to get attention from someone who had never loved me. It would leave me feeling empty. It would leave my mom fucking dead. I just can't risk it.
Is that the script you're writing, by the way? Because that is a fucking great story.
It's true, though. It's like, I can't hang out with anyone. And my ex-boyfriend, who is the only person I've slept with in the past fucking 7 years, he just moved back to town, and we're both single. And I'm like,
oh,
fuck.
Shit, plot twist, table for one.
It's crazy. I'm living in St. Louis, and he moves back to town during this, not like because of the quarantine, just out of pure coincidence.
This is like opposite Sweet Home Alabama.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, he's not really, he shot me a text this week and was like, hey, do you want to hang out this weekend? And then he never followed up. And I'm kind of like,
oh, dude,
it's not nice. Right.
Oh man. Did you respond?
So he wrote me on, so I can run this by you. Okay. He wrote me on Thursday. Hey, I would love to have a driveway hang with you, you know, like social distance.
Yeah.
Are you down for that? And I was like, I'm so down. And then I think he said, okay, I'll,
Like I'm down for a driveway dry hump.
Let's plan for, yeah, if it's at night, then it can turn into a something, right?
Yeah.
So okay, driveway, so and driveway that. Seems so like high school, like.
Love it. Love the location.
It's so cute, right? So like underneath, like, and there's like kids playing and there's like dogs barking, like, and just maybe a guy walks by with his dog while we're kissing and it's like, oh my God, like stop.
Totally.
And
then we like. Also so much opportunity to see cute shit that you can both, that he can like
comment
like,
on.
Like see a dad helping his kid ride his bike for the first time without training wheels.
Wait, what did
wheels?
You say? You just cut out.
Oh, like seeing a, I was doing another Martin Sweatshirt bit. That was probably what
I just pretended not to hear.
Like if you saw like some, like a dad helping his kid ride his bike and you could both
yes,
be like,
yes.
Oh my God. And maybe he, you know, takes advantage of that. And he's like, I don't know when my dad did that for me. God. And you're like, oh my God, did he do that? And you're like, yeah.
Yes.
And then he makes a joke about it. So he like tugs at your heartstrings and then comes back with a sucker punch of laughter. And you're like, dude, this guy is fucking coming inside. My parents aren't going to make it through the evening, you know?
Yeah, they.
They better start wrapping themselves in cellophane and putting on Bill Maher.
Fire
albums.
Up the hydroxychloroquine because get it going. Put it on the burner. I don't know
Nick's
what you do with it.
Getting the dick. Yeah.
He
didn't follow up.
He said, I'll let you. He goes, let's plan for tomorrow. Let's plan for this weekend. And so it's this weekend. It's Sunday night. And, haven't heard from him. Let me check my phone just to make sure. Yep, nothing. I mean, that is so, like, this is the type of shit that happens where I just go, come on. Like, you're blowing it. Like, I won't forget this. This will take a lot of cleaning up to do. And it could have been so easy just to just be like, hey, I can't. Instead of just like, but, you know, also, maybe I need to stop having any sort of hope and expectations and just like, you know.
No, I mean, but that's the fun of it, right? Is to like get excited about the potential, like,
yeah,
even the like, and also it was very innocent. You're like a fucking kicking it in the driveway. Like my parents can look through the window and fucking get excited.
Yeah, I just don't think he's down to bang. Like that's the thing. I think he just wants to be friends, and I don't really. I have to assess whether I want a friend or not. You know.
I think you got plenty of pals for the pandemic.
I have so many friends. Listen, I care pals. About them. Yeah, da, 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 da. But unless you want to love me, I'm not even going to really, it's going to be hard to even like you.
Oh my God. I just saw you hosting a daytime dating talk show in like your late 70s and you've converted to Judaism and you're only having on like young Japs to hear about how fucking promiscuous they are.
I love it. I think we should pitch it to Quibi.
We could fucking actually do it like that. If you just put on some big jewelry, which I'm sure you could wrangle up in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And
whatever happened to those shows like Ricky Lakes and like Sarah Jessica Parker. No, Sally Jesse Raphael.
It was some three name banger. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know those shows, are they still around those like...
First of all, Ricky Lake was like putting her foot in Hollywood too. She was like, I'm going to be in the movie Beaches. And you're like, all right.
Oh yeah, she was in Beaches. She was in Hairspray and she was amazing.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah, talented. That was her in Hairspray, yes. Oh, she was so good.
And Sally Jesse Raphael was the monster in Stranger Things. And a lot of people don't know that.
Sorry, you're cutting out. What'd you say?
The monster in
Stranger Things. Fucking Martin!
Not worth it.
God damn it, Martin.
Martin Fletcher. He knows that I'm making it. By the way, I saw Martin at the Comedy Store. Do you get geeked out or do you get starstruck when people that have, you know, a legend, icon, whatever, everyone's got their own labels, but when somebody of that magnitude pops in and you haven't seen them, are you so about the business and the work that you're, and been around enough cool shit yourself to where you're just like, oh, cool, Martin's here. Or do you go, oh, I'm going to watch that. That's fucking awesome.
Oh,
Adam might have a great sweatshirt bit about it someday.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like I still get starstruck. I love stars. I love seeing people that from my childhood. And like, I had a moment the other day doing a podcast with Bob Saget. And I was like,
whoa,
I cannot believe that I'm talking to Danny Tanner. It's
you
one
did
of those
podcasts. That's so fucking rad.
Yeah. No,
I just saw him come out with that. And I was like, dude, this is going to crush. It's going to do like what Dax and Conan, I think, did, right?
I think so, too.
He knows everybody. He's so nice. I feel like he's going to slip into the interview thing. You tell me.
It was awesome. And he's done my radio show a bunch, so we already had a good rapport. And he's just so funny. And but so just funny. Knowing him and being friends with Bob Saget is so just weird. So wild. Like things like that there that really like trip me up sometimes. I'm trying to think of the last time I got like truly starstruck. I mean, you've met some pretty huge stars. When was the most like you've been? Oh, was it Martin?
Fucking no no Zoom leg on that one. They're probably well, the first celebrities I ever saw in LA when I moved there in 01 to go to college was Leo at the Grove. Bumped into him. He was had a hat down and he was like hat down trying to
literally bumped into him.
Bumped into him and I go, "Oh shit, my bad, dude." And he just looked up enough with his under his hat to go, "All good." And I go, "Whoa." Not comfy enough to not respond like that. So I just go, "Hey." And then he kind of smiled and turned around. Was like,
"Did yeah, he like acknowledge it?"
Yeah. And then I saw Larry King there when I was super baked and I was in the lobby and he's there with his like nephew. And my buddy and I were going out to get a refill on popcorn and we see him at the snack machine and I go, "Holy shit." I go with my buddy, I go, "I gotta say something." He's like, "No, you don't." I'm like, "You're right, but I'm gonna." So I go up and I was like, "Larry, dude, big fan. Fucking, what are you doing here?" And he's like, "I'm with my nephew. Do you mind?" And I go, "Not at all. I just got interviewed by Larry King." And then he just shook his head and turned around and walked the other way. And then,
oh my God, wait, do you mind? He didn't like that. I'm burning up. Do you mind if I take off my sweatshirt
for
a sec? Like, yeah. I'm doing a wardrobe change. I think I might regret what I'm wearing underneath, but I'm just going to risk it.
You know what? Now that you said that, it's time.
Is this weird for a podcast? A wardrobe change? I'm comfortably hot in my
If it's a Martin sweatshirt, I'm going to fucking lose my mind.
Oh my God. Can you imagine? That would be the best. I tried to look cool in like an oversized, like baggy sweets. I tried to look sweet in like a sweatshirt and it backfired.
No, you're
fine. And then I turned off my fan because it looked like I was trying to be Beyonce. But,
well, we all are a little bit.
Yeah.
You don't want a little bit of hair blown in the wind? You're not human.
When you like, have you ever had a fan on when you're like, you don't have long hair, but when you're a girl and you like,
it's pretty long right now. It's just combed back. But yeah, I hear you like your hair.
You really feel that pop star-y feel.
You?
I think for my next special, I'm going to do a wind machine the whole time.
I was just going to say for how long,
but my hair keeps getting caught in my mouth and like stuck on my lipstick.
Everyone's just like, turn it off. Stop
down again. The continuity is off the whole time.
Yeah. Nothing is editable. Wait, so Saget. Okay. So that was a fucking dream.
Yeah. Like it's just knowing those people, being friends with people that you looked up to is just insane.
Do you find yourself, because you've done so many, aside from your
looked
own
up
show.
To. I don't think I didn't look up to Bob. I guess I did look up to Bob Saget, but I wasn't like someday I'm going to be Bob Saget, but
Yeah, you did. Quit lying.
I would love to be Bob Saget, so maybe that is a dream I should dream.
Can I be honest? Dave Stamos to me was obviously like, what guy wasn't like, I bet that guy's seen every boob, right?
I think he would turn me on when I was six. Like, that's how much Stamos was so hot. Like, I think I was, like, seriously, like, knew he was hot at an age where I was far from even noticing men. It just, like, he was so sexy.
Yeah, like, not fair. Dave Coulier, I think, was the one that I was probably because of they did all these voices and had fucking puppets. And
oh, he was the best. But yeah. He was so lonely. He never dated. Did Joey ever date?
Every now and then he brought a girl back and was like turned into kind of like, it was almost like when Urkel went to Stefan Urkel, like he kind of like put on like nicer pants, but then all of a sudden without fail, he'd get downstairs and she was like, "So Joey, I'd love to maybe, you know, see what, you know, smell your, you know, see if your balls." I'm paraphrasing. I don't remember the dialogue
right.
on this show.
It probably wasn't exactly that, but yeah, something close to that.
It was something that was like moving the story along and showing that Joey might be stepping out of his comfort zone and getting to do some fun
stuff.
But
he never ended up with anyone.
No, because then he was like, "Here's a puppet." And she was like, "Okay."
He was always hiding behind the jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he got in his own way. Cock blocked his own.
A lot of ways I relate to Joey when I think about it. Just like putting on this facade, hiding behind the act.
Yeah. Yeah. There you don't
protective.
Have you been diving in? Oh no, you froze, Nikki. You there?
You cutting out.
You froze. You good? Are we good?
You cut out so much. I'm so sorry. You'll be able to edit this, right?
Yeah. It was momentary.
Yeah. Okay. So wait a second. What were you just saying? Because I had a really good point. Fuck.
I was saying, Coulier. You said you were late to Dave Coulier.
I have full bars.
Here we go. Are you good? We're good. Yeah. Are you good?
Adam Ray here. I used to wake up every morning stuffed and exhausted, like I'd been wrestling my own pillow all night. Pillow fights, table for one. I thought it was stress or age or karma catching up to me. Maybe the melatonin hasn't kicked in. Thanks, Joe. Turns out it was the air in my house. That's when I got Air Doctor, and now it's the only air purifier I use. I can't even say the word right because I'm so excited. Purifier. I heard about it from a friend. Just tried it and immediately noticed fewer weird odors, way fewer allergy issues, and I actually started sleeping better, which is huge because I don't sleep. I travel all the time. It's tough for me to get passed out and get some Z's. I am a problem to myself. Air Doctor is different because it has a powerful three-stage filtration system that captures particles about 100 times smaller than what actual typical air purifiers can. It gets rid of dust, pollen, bacteria, viruses, odor, smoke, wildfire smoke, and ozone. Basically everything you do not want hanging out in your lungs. It is also whisper quiet, so it's not roaring in the background. It has an auto mode that keeps your air clean all day and night. And it reminds you when to change the filter, which I personally need. And people love it. 98% of customers say their home feels cleaner and healthier. And Air Doctor won Newsweek's Reader Choice Award for Best Air Purifier. Head to AirDoctorPro.com and use promo code ALN to get up to $300 off today. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, plus a 3-year warranty and $84 value free. Get this exclusive podcast-only offer now at AirDoctorPro.com, AirDoctorPro.com, promo code ALN.
Welcome to Paris Pizzeria. Your blind date is already at the table, and there she is.
Cousin Brenda, what are you doing here? You're married anyway.
Substitution brought to you by Paddy Power. Cousin Brenda makes way for Beth, the office crush.
Oh, get in!
You might not always pick the right starter, but your sub can still deliver. Because with Paddy's Super Sub, your bet rolls over to the player coming on. Paddy Power.
Valid on selected leagues and markets only. Pre-match and in-play bets on qualifying player outcome selections only. T's and C's and exclusions apply. 18+, gambleaware.org.
There once was a woman who lived in a shoe. A size too snug, but what could she do? But that's not where her story ends. Thanks to a little help from her Experian friends, she got her score into much better shape and relocated to a box-fresh new place with room to grow and a mortgage to suit. Now, she lives in a spacious 4-bedroom cowboy boot. Better your Experian credit score to help get mortgage ready. Experian. Better your score. Better your story.
Are you good? Yes, Nikki.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, great. I think I'm back on. My internet got a little spotty.
Okay.
You said so, you relate to Dave Coulier.
Yeah, I relate to him. I relate, like, it's so funny. I think I always wanted to be like a tortured, like, alone artist, because the other day I was singing karaoke and I was singing one of my favorite hits from the late 90s, which was Britney Spears' Lucky. And I remember I used to sing that song. And it's about a girl who's famous, and but she cries in her lonely heart, thinking, if there's nothing missing in my life, then why do these tears come at night? And I was like, I remember I would sing it when I was in eighth grade, and I was like, someday I'm going to be famous, and like, I'm going to, boys aren't going to like, I'm going to be alone inside, and I just like kind of yearned for that. I longed to sing that song someday and have it like have meaning to me, and now it is that my life. I sing a song and I'm like, the lyrics like are my life. It's like, she's so lucky, she's a star. And like, I feel that. I am lucky. I am a star.
Yeah.
But I don't cry in my lonely heart because I'm on too many antidepressants and I can't really do that.
By the way, I can only do that if I get the
wrong answer on Millionaire. I should redo that song as someone who's on antidepressants.
Very funny. Do you think the way that like Eminem retweeted D'Elia when he was like and did a rap of him, if you did that, you think Britney would be down for the cause? and laugh at herself?
I don't know. As long as she hasn't burnt down her, you know, tech facility, she might come across. Like, did you know she burnt down her gym?
I saw something. I saw one quick, you know, sometimes you're flipping through the channel and you see a blip of like Entertainment Tonight where they're like, whoa, you don't want to miss this. Great theme song, by the way. They're like, Britney Spears lit some shit on fire. Stick around. And I was like, whoa. And then it just, I couldn't.
Yeah. So she's just like, hey, y'all, I haven't lifted weights in a while because I burnt down my gym. I lit two candles and, you know, the rest is history. She like says something like, and you know, and one thing, she goes, one thing led to another and I burnt my gym down.
By the way, she'll be the worst arson. Like fucking, they're like, what happened? Well, you know, I showed up. Bought a bunch of kerosene. Next thing you know, the whole place was fucking in flames. You're like, so what happened during that?
That's insane. Owned up to it. She blamed, I think she was blaming the amount of candles. She really wanted to stress it was two candles. It's like, doesn't matter. It's still an accident. It's okay. But she was like, you know, I lit one candle and then there was another candle and one thing led to another.
Then the next thing you know, Kevin Federline showed up with a blowtorch. We were all like, hey man, social distancing. He was like, fuck that noise. And he started fucking bringing it. He pulled out some more candles and we're like, oh, this guy's actually giving us a little celebratory reversal. This is funny and enlightening. And then, yeah. K-Fed.
K-Fed's the Joe Exotic of the crocodiles are like Britney's gym equipment.
Did you, man, where is that guy right now? There's certain, this amount of downtime has given me like where I'm like
is K-Fed all right? Like we're checking in on, we should maybe check in on him.
I don't even know if I'm going as far as, is he all right? I'm just like, where is he?
Where
like,
is he now? Right.
We haven't seen a post from him. These are the types of people that could be taking advantage of being like, yo, just so everybody knows, I'm all good. Like, that might get 1,000 retweets.
That would be hilarious, though, if we went and checked and K-Fed had been doing that every day and, like, getting no likes and just being like, hey, guys, I'm good the whole time and no one cared.
Oh, dude. All his, like, fan pages are retweeting it.
Oh. Yes. K-Fed fannies.
Oh, boy. What are your fans called?
I don't have a name. Do yours have a name?
I mean, I'm approaching 100K on Instagram.
Rabies?
Rabies? Well, let's swap that P for a B. Yeah, rabies.
Oh, right. Rabies. Is that what they're called?
No, but that.
That's pretty good. They're rabid.
I don't know if I have it in me to do that. I don't.
Do it ironically is what you do it as.
Yeah, you have to.
I
remember
really
like
think that yeah.
Dean Del Rey called his has his Del Razors, right? And
that's amazing.
It's amazing. And there was this night we were at the Comedy Store, me, Sandy Danto, Paulie, and Paulie was like, dude, that guy's being super shady. He keeps like staring at us, like, what the fuck? And Dean's like, oh, he's cool. He's a Del Razor. And Paulie goes,
that's a great Dean.
Paulie goes, what the fuck is that?
That's Adele Razor. He said it seriously, Dean. Yeah,
I know. And so Paulie just coming in real quick with the, bro, what the fuck is that?
That's a good Paulie too.
Just, I don't know. But again, it's like when you get that, if you got millions, man, I mean, aren't you like there or right there or approaching?
No, I think I'm around 6.
That's a lot.
100,000. But then you like, I mean, that's a lot. And I'm like, wow, I can't believe I achieved that or whatever. I'm not going to like put out a tweet that says like, I'm at 1,000,000. I don't think I'm going to like celebrate it by like spelling out 1,000,000 with my yoga poses and be like, guys, I reached 800,000. We did it, guys. It's just because of each one of you.
I love the we did it.
The we did it for you having followers. Fuck you.
Oh,
who gives a fuck about how many followers you have? It's so stupid. But it is currency. I mean, it is exactly. When I see a guy on Raya, I like see how many followers he has. I'm like, is this person? What if they're in the entertainment business and you have followers if you are successful? That's kind of a mark of it, right?
Yeah, 1,000%. Wait, so you don't think. So I'm approaching 100,000 and here's what I've done. Not a yoga pose anymore. Thanks for fucking squashing that idea. But
Adam, if you want to celebrate reaching 100,000, you
let me hear.
Should.
Let me tell you how I'm going to do it. Like the same way we talked about, if you're going to name your own fans, do it ironically so that
Paulie Shore
calling you out on the patio of the store for the fucking name of them. So I sent Lindsay Lohan a request on Cameo to make me a message congratulating me, but I like put in a lot of specific text.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Right?
Brilliant.
Because if you just ask her, hey, can you say congrats? She won't give a fuck and it's not personal. If I put in there things that I did where she's making fun of me, but in like a...
Dude, it'll be so good. You okay, just gave cool. Lindsay Lohan a monologue. That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, that's... I love that you see that part of it because that's the other thing where I'm like...
No, it's artistically a great idea. Fantastic.
Okay, cool.
And happy 100,000, man. I knew you could get there.
We did it.
Are you one of these guys that also...
We did it.
No, you totally are this guy. I've been to your apartment that you put your...
I bought a condo. I moved from there.
Oh, but well, that place was nice, but I'm just saying the way you decorate, you have your accomplishments around you.
We've switched up. That was
the old you.
Yeah, let's get out of that guy. But that's also like...
Who was that guy?
I don't know. You know what I think? I think it's the same guy, you know?
Yeah, I think it was cool. Like, it wasn't like over the top.
Well, I think you know me well enough. I don't know. Like the Heat poster for sure. I was going to put that up because they only made like 10 of those. And I had it in my old apartment tacked to the wall.
No, it makes sense.
And my mom. And then I was like wanting to formalize the apartment podcast wise. And I was like, what do I have to put up to make it feel like a comedy environment? So it was like, oh, a podcast poster, a tour poster with Adam Devine. You know what I'm saying? Like shit that was.
No, it was a good set. It was a set dressing.
There you go.
And they were cool looking posters. That's what I'm saying. The style was cool. Like when I see people's cue cards from their first spot on Seth Meyers, I can't respect you anymore. I get it that if your mom framed it, but just put it in the closet. Like that's just such a you need. I would not want to be haunted by the one time something good happened to me. Every time I walked into my apartment in Astoria, you know.
Yeah.
Just to open it and be like, I was on Letterman once. And just, to me, that would like haunt me, not inspire me.
That's really fucking funny. Yeah. That. What do you have in your place there? Have you sent your folks accomplishments to celebrate?
You know, I have. There used to be stuff up, but I just, I had to take it down for it just looked ridiculous. It looked like I was like people who didn't know I was at my parents thought I had my own posters up. So I took it down, but they have like fan art that I've had made for me.
Yeah. That's cool.
But nothing within like reach, which is surprising because fan art. Someone made me like a Howard Stern picture and then put me on the other side of it, which is super cool.
Yeah.
You know, fans make nice shit and I just give it to my parents cause I don't really want it, but, yeah.
Fan
art is always disappointing. Like when they draw you, you're just like, okay.
Yeah.
All right. It's never been easy to swallow. I'd rather you just not try.
Damn. You get a lot of it?
Or do very abstract. Don't go for realism. Don't get too real on my face. I want
put me in a Simpsons cartoon.
Even that would like trigger me. I think you could go some way with that one.
You're like, is that Mr. Burns or me? God damn it.
If I'm not as skinny as Lisa, I'm going to fucking throw a goddamn fit. I must have the same measurements as Lisa.
What's cooler, by the way, to your, well, it's the same way that your pops is, and by the way, are you good for like 5 more minutes?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Is it equivalent the way your dad reveres Bill Maher? Is your mom in the same light a fan of Stern? Did anyone in your family geek out about you very spontaneously going on the show? You've been on before, but
I did. That one was for me. I mean, like my parents know the weight of Stern and like Stern.
They do. Okay. At least they understand.
Oh yeah. They're big fans, but like I kind of found Stern on my own, I think. And for me, that was like a very personal, achievement that I wanted to have. And I set a goal of like this year I have to get on Stern, and I got on Stern, and then you have to work your way on. Like I went on to roast Ronnie the limo driver. That was my first appearance. Yes. Then I went on and got interviewed I timed it for right after the roast, and Howard loves the roast.
Loves.
And so I killed on the roast of Alec Baldwin.
The party you so get on that me. Because of that, like knowing in the back of your head, like If I crush, like I...
Oh, I think about, the roast, not just Howard, but like everyone.
Yeah,
it's just everyone will see this.
Fucking
anyone
crazy.
Who watches this stuff is going to see this. So this better be great. It's a tremendous amount of pressure that I put on myself. And I should, because when it works, it like
game changer,
takes you
right?
to the next level.
Yeah.
So that's when Howard was like, when it was agreed to have me on as like a full interview. And that was like... It was almost like weird because I felt like I can die now, you know, like I have nothing really. That was kind of the pinnacle for me, like in terms of like achievements, to be thought of as an artist enough for Howard Stern to sit down and interview me in like a real way and be interested and like have a great conversation and have the appearance have gone well on top of that. It was just like, okay, I'm done.
I 1,000% agree.
Do you have any of those?
That he would be that. Yes, him.
Yes,
him,
right?
him and Conan. Like
Conan,
those are
and
my,
Conan too. Like that's those are the two. I always say, Adam, sitting on the couch with Conan, yes, and being friends with Conan. That is the one. That's the one that I truly.
I love that
can't
you don't
even think about. That's why I didn't say it before. I put it out of my head because it's too much for me that I that he even looks at me as a peer.
But you're so. I love that you don't shy away from dropping that fact. Like even when you did his podcast, Conan's podcast was so great, and it was like you mention it, he takes it. And then, like any good person, spins a compliment into something funny and makes it self-deprecating.
Oh,
but
he's
like, but he takes it, genius. And I love that. I'm like, oh, he like, I'm like he
does.
He loves that. He thinks you're great, and I like that. Hearing him dig that, you know, because it's like, I don't know. It's he's very honest in being like, man, like. I love this like people in this next generation. Like to you to be one
of them,
and for him to be a fan, like. That's it, you can hear him get joy out of being like, oh man, I think she's great. She likes me. You're like, fucking, of course she does.
I know. And then when I see him have that moment, I'm like, I can't believe he's having that moment or questioning himself ever.
Stupid.
Like that's why I wanted, like when I did his podcast, I just wanted to get through to him. Like, you must know that you are the pinnacle. Like no one's funnier than you.
No.
I hope you realize that. And please hear me when I say that. I know what I'm talking about. I have good taste.
Wait, so you're going to do his show on YouTube,
his show. It's like next Monday. I have like a week to prepare,
awesome.
And which is nice because usually I thought they were gonna ask me and they're gonna be tomorrow and I'd be like okay and throw together a set, but it truly is like a set. So I'm working.
Oh,
that's
cool.
Why I did a set last night on Glebe's on our
gotcha.
Ex non ever president Ben Glebe. I did that because I was working on material and needed to like plan what I'm going to talk about. I think I'm going to do a bit where I like, because I've been trying to get my parents I need content and like no one takes pictures of me. Like the worst thing about content is that you have to have someone fucking film you and it's embarrassing to do this shit and not. And so I do funny things all the time and I'm like, Mom, Dad, will you just please take a picture without me saying it? Because when I say it, it just turns into a desperate thing and I'd rather it just be like, organic, so I don't have to like say it and then hold the dog and do it again, you know, just
yeah.
I don't want to pose, right? And so I had to like talk to them about it and they're like, Nikki, we just don't think that way. We don't think you have to tell us. And then when they do take a photo and if I don't look pretty in it, I'm like, you guys suck at taking pictures. And I just like run down the hallway and like slam the door. But I swear to God, like they won't take pictures. And I started doing this thing where I go out to my I've been smoking a lot of pot through this whole pandemic.
Yeah. Me too. Can't stop.
Like hardcore leaning into it.
Yep. Good.
No regrets.
Good.
Some
you
regrets. No, it's just like, I got to do it. It's getting me through.
Good.
Yeah. But,
the healthy vice,
but it's fun because I've been doing it indoors. And my mom and dad like don't care, but they kind of do, but they're just trying to be cool. So my mom was like, I prefer you to do it on the front porch. And now every time I smoke weed, I get an alert because my parents' Ring app goes off. And so I'll be out there like smoking weed on the porch. And then it's like, bring, and then I see myself from behind, just like looking just like a total drug addict on the front porch, like lighting a bowl. Like it's not even like a cool joint. I'm just like a, you know, doing it from a bowl. So I keep seeing myself. But the other day, I realized like I can see myself now. And now I go out there sometimes just to check like how cute I look from like every angle just to make sure I still got it. So I'm thinking about doing a bunch of thirst traps with my Ring app and then like showing those on Conan because it's the only way that anyone will take pictures of me.
Hilarious. He'll be all about that. That's very funny. Have you ever gotten so high that you have seen yourself on the ring and been like, who's this bitch on our front porch?
Yes.
Like, who, like, yeah, you have.
Yeah, I mean, that's what, why I go to the ring app, because so often I'll see that and I'll go, who, she's cute. And I'll be like, who is that? And then I'm like, oh, it's me. And then I'm like, ew, she's gross. And like, you're, you know, it flips right away. So it makes me realize that I don't see myself correctly and that I need to sometimes get a ring's perspective on things to like keep
that's
myself
so
in check.
Funny.
Because like, I know many girls relate to that. I've heard girls say that, where you'll catch your reflection and you like see your reflection in like a weird, like where you don't expect to see it. And you're like, oh my God, that girl's cute. Oh, it's me. Gross. Like it instantly. It flips on a dime.
That's so funny. You could, it could take off the way, I mean, look, everyone's in this time looking for like trends or things to like challenges or whatever.
Oh yeah,
to,
that's
like,
a thing.
Up.
It could inspire a ring.
Ring
thirst
selfies.
Trap.
Yeah. Ring thirst trap. Yeah. All right. I want to close out with a quick game. I know you're big.
Finish that sentence.
You're big with, sorry, Eric Griffin just texted me. Do you know who Adam Ray OK is? There's some person on TikTok that has my name and they're like, they do crazy music videos, and I keep getting messages being like, yo, like, this is, do you know this person? Same name.
No.
And I'm like, nope.
You better register your name.
Yeah. There's other,
you're already SAG after. You're fine. So okay. Adam Ray can do whatever he wants with those music videos on TikTok. It's not in on your.
I'm AGVA, baby. I worked at a theme park.
What's that?
Exactly. When you when you play Wolverine at Universal Studios and host a Fear Factor live show, you have to join AGVA.
Which is like, what does it stand for?
Aggressive Gerber. All right, I want to close out with a game. I know you're big with charities, and I want to do a game.
Huge.
You are. You love the birds. The
no,
birds
yeah, I like raising money for
you
things.
Do. You're very sweet, and you've done a lot of like hometown shows at the Funny Bone and for animal shelters, I know, and it's just you're really great about that stuff, which is, you know, unexpected, and no one's asking for it, and you do it because you love it, and you have a platform. So I want to do a game. With every question you get right, I'm going to donate $100 to a charity of your choice.
What, really?
Yeah.
Oh my God, this is so fun. Thanks, Adam.
I did it with WNBA superstar Sue Bird last week, and then another episode after that, and it's
oh my God,
fun.
The pressure's on. Okay, this is like millionaire all over again. It really is.
And an extra $1,000 if you freak out. All right, so let's okay, first question. What do you miss more, awkward eye contact or hearing someone cough?
Oh wait, how do I get these right? They're not real questions.
Nikki, let's just play the game and have some fun. What do you miss more, awkward eye contact or hearing someone cough?
Awkward eye contact.
That is correct. $100 in the bank for Nikki Glaser. Question number two. What's the best thing about quarantine?
The best thing about quarantine?
That is correct.
I really want to...
That is correct. A deep sigh. That is correct. $200 in the bank.
No, I was going to say not wearing shoes.
Okay, yeah.
I don't ever have to put on shoes.
Love that. Yeah. Socks?
No, socks are so gross. I don't like the way they feel on my feet. It's like I'd rather cold feet than have like a damp cotton on my toes with like dirt on it.
By the way, I'm going to isolate that audio and upload it to feet.com and probably make at least $80 tonight.
Oh, yeah. Just describing what like a fucking wet, like damp sock on my... bunion-y feet.
And we lost the viewer.
With my gel polish on my toenails that's half come off, so half of my toenail looks like it has a fungus on it, a pink fungus, and in my damp woolly sock that's hanging off the toe, like the tip of it is just kind of like, it's like a sad condom on my foot. Yeah, you like that? Someone really just came from that, for sure.
For sure. Well, he took a big sip of something from a fast food cup, and then he just goes, "Oh God!"
Guys are so fascinating. I don't mind it because I'm just like, fuck, yeah. I don't care. As like, I don't think of it as like a naughty place of myself. So if you catch it, but my feet are so jacked up, I'm kind of like offended that they like them because it's like, oh, you're fetishizing my jacked up feet because they're like, I love fucked up feet. And I'm like, that's not nice. No. I get.
Wait, can you please, I don't know if that's a bit or not, but can you do, that's a fucking, you gotta write that down. That's really funny. A backhanded Conan would eat that up. That's so funny, Nikki. Like them, them fantasizing, and it's already, you're already kind of like lowering your guard because you're like, it's not that crazy. And then you're like, God, I let you in and you still found a way to be fucking offensive.
It's people do it all the time. Even
that's
like
really funny.
People, whenever I don't like posting pictures of my family because my people always go, you look just like your dad. And I'm just like, don't say you look, tell a girl she looks like her dad. It's not a really, that's really not nice.
No, it's not.
And they also go, you don't look nothing like your mom, or like, you look nothing like your sister. And my sister's like beautiful. And I'm just like, I get it. But like, don't tell a woman she looks like her dad ever. People do it all the time.
You've got your dad's ankles. You're like, not, that does nothing for my self-esteem.
I wish. My dad really does. I realize my dad has like better legs than me. He has like thinner legs. My legs are, can like be, they're pretty muscular. And he has like these thin legs that I'm like, God, he's got supermodel legs. I got jealous of my dad's legs today. The real thing.
That's amazing. And that was actually question number three. Did you get jealous of your dad's legs today?
Yes, final answer. I did get jealous of my dad's legs today. Moving on.
$300 in the bank. Nikki, question number four. Would you consider starting a karaoke club during this pandemic and doing it over Zoom?
How would that work? Yes. Yes, I would be. But I need to know how it works because it's going to be hard.
That is correct. $400 in the bank.
That is correct.
Glazer.
To follow up with a question about logistics.
Question number five, $400 in the bank. Do you think you'll be remembered more for the roast or for boofing it on Millionaire?
I definitely think for the roast. And I wish that it were the Millionaire thing because the roast I tend to get like, people think that I'm like the queen of mean. And I'm just like, that's kind of not who I am.
Yeah.
But I thought on Millionaire, I thought it was like really myself. And so I hope I'm remembered for that. Final answer.
That's correct. $500 in the bank for Nikki Glaze. We got five more questions and a chance for $1,000 to you.
Wow, Adam, that's so nice.
Yeah, you got it. Question number six. What's happening more in quarantine right now? Hand jobs or anal for $600?
Okay, let me think about this. I definitely think. I think they're both down. The numbers are both down significantly, but for sure. Hand jobs are just happening more frequently anyway, I'm going to go hand jobs. Final answer.
That is correct. $600 in the bank. And we actually have audio of Dr. Fauci announcing that at the podium during a briefing.
Great. So
fundamentally, hand jobs are, they're still. Question number seven, Nikki, is kind of a doozy. Mom or dad, who's crushing it more joke wise during the quarantine at your home in St. Louis, Missouri?
That is a tough one. They are both killing it constantly, but I gotta say, in terms of joke output, I gotta go my dad. Final answer.
That is correct. $700 in the bank. Dad, thank you. What's your father's name again?
He's got EJ a
great
Glazer.
Dad name. Yes.
EJ.
EJ. Does that stand for two other names?
Edward John. Yeah.
Whoa. Classic.
I know, such a cool name. It's the coolest
strong name. You get to call
really
him Eddie?
Is. No, never have. Just I don't even call him Dad.
You just call him EJ?
No, I do call him Dad. No, I call him Daddy.
Okay, moving on. Question eight.
Ew. I don't even like that I joked about it. Daddy makes me sick. Anyone, if you call your dad Daddy, I'm sorry for your childhood.
Yeah. Oh, my. Okay. Favorite.
Or maybe I'm jealous of it. You had a pony growing up. You have to say, Daddy, thank you. Daddy, I want a pony. You have to say that to get a pony. No, you have to call your dad Daddy already. Okay, next question. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. Question eight. What is your favorite movie quote for $800?
Oh, my God. My favorite movie quote. Can I give my favorite TV quote, the one that's coming to mind?
Oh, my God. I thought you were going to say that. Can I give my favorite slam poetry title? I was about to be like, and Zoom over.
Wait, my favorite. Yeah, can I please sing my favorite ballad from Pocahontas on Ice? It's one they only took out on that
Nikki,
tour.
The internet's breaking up.
Okay, my favorite movie line. Let me really think about this for a second. I mean, like, some that are occurring to me because I like my favorite movies are like Dead Poets Society. So I'm thinking like, oh, Captain, my Captain. Like, what other lines in that movie are really touching or moving?
Yeah.
Can't Hardly Wait. There's some great lines in that are so just good. Like crushing and really good.
Yep.
But I gotta go Liar Liar, where he goes, "You're a pedantic, pontificating, pretentious snob, a belligerent something, a worthless steaming pile of cow dung, figuratively speaking." And he says that's my favorite line. You're a pedantic, pontificating, pretentious something. A worthless, steaming... Yeah, he does that whole rendition.
We'll edit it in post. $800 to Nikki Glaser in the bank.
I got it right.
That is one of... Yeah, you'll look that up tonight. That's one of the better lines from that movie that is full of memorable
quotes. I
wish
I was ready for that. Yeah, that one was so... Oh, God, that movie's so goddamn good.
I mean, it's one of those movies that you go... You know, you always hear about the casting options they had waiting in the wings or things that didn't happen because somebody got... shooting... Like, Harrison Ford was shooting, you know, fucking Hollywood Homicide with Josh Hartnett, so he couldn't do Batman. You know, like something...
Oh, right.
You know, and so now that's why everyone hates Josh Hartnett, you know, because he held Ford out of Batman. That's not...
Whoa.
That's not it, but that's how rumors get started. But shit like that,
ooh,
you hear about...
track.
Yeah.
Adam Ray over
Josh Hartnett got... turned down for Batman and they gave it to Harrison Ford. So he goes, you know what? I'm going to fucking tell them to schedule Hollywood Homicide when Tim Burton wants to.
Oh, shit.
That didn't happen.
That would be amazing if Harrison Ford stood up for Josh Hartnett. By the way, I hope Josh Hartnett's checking in with us.
Whoa.
Where is he?
I mean, dude, that guy went 40 days and 40 nights with
him. He was so fucking hot, dude. I can't even believe. I gotta look him up again. I was horny for him so much in high school, and I never masturbated in high school. Like, I wasted all this horned up energy on these guys. I was in love with all of these guys. Josh Hartnett, I was truly like obsessed and in love with him. I gotta go back. I bet he'll look too young now. No, he was like older when I was young.
He looked young too. I bet he's like even.
No, he was like a man. Like, there was that one movie he did, 40 Days and 40 Nights. This one, yeah. He didn't really do much after that.
Yeah.
What else was he in? Scream? Was he in one of the Screams?
No, see? And the fact that you think that and he was like, maybe he only did Hollywood Homicide in 40 Days and 40 Nights.
Yeah. No, he had to, he did something before that broke him.
He's like, I'm quitting acting for Lent. This movie just really touched me.
I wonder what happened to him. I'm worried about him truly.
What if he's running K-Fed's fan page?
What if they're the same
person?
Knew
they were connected. Well, that is the rumor that we all want to be
true. Dude, that would be amazing because they kind of did disappear around the same time and come. I think it lines up, dude.
Oh, my God. I mean, you know, we all want Tupac to actually still be living. But if somehow K-Fed and Josh Hartnett were the same.
Were the same person.
Whoa.
Peel it back. So is that answer right?
That's correct. For $900, that is correct. No, for $800, that was correct after all that. All right, for $900, your favorite food in quarantine. What have you been snacking on this?
Oh, that's a good. Today? I'm a vegan, so I got to say my favorite food. God, my diet is so fucking boring. I like, honestly, this is a pretty sad one. I like, God, Halo Top. Like when I get to dig into there's these Halo Tops that are like low sugar and vegan, you know, cool. Where you can eat the whole pint of ice cream.
Yep.
I'm going to go have one after this. So that's kind of all I can think about right now. Do you ever do those? Do you do pints of ice cream ever?
You know, I'm more of a salty guy. Last pint of ice cream I did was probably when I was super baked in college, honestly.
Really?
Yeah.
So you just don't like sweets?
No, I do. I mean,
what do you go for?
Ice cream sandwiches are killer. That I'll.
Oh yeah, that's delicious.
Yeah. But.
What have you been eating a lot of?
You know, I'm a big like chips and salsa guy. Is that weird? I just
good.
Like that's, but that's not my.
I've been eating a lot of hummus, but I always eat a lot of hummus.
Oh, hummus
I love
and
it.
A lot of peppers. I didn't realize how fucking delicious just straight up green and red peppers were.
Oh my! Oh, green aren't my favorite, but red and yellow and orange. Oh, you could eat those like an apple.
Slide that through a thing of hummus, like.
Oh, it's delicious,
dude. That's better, dude. That's if you saw Josh Hartnett do that, like I don't even know.
I would explode.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, and that's correct. Yeah. That is the answer for number.
Thank
question
you so
number
much.
Nine. If you saw Josh Hartnett scooping up some hum with the pep, would you lose it? Yes. $900
yes,
in the bank for Nikki Glaser. Question 10, the final question. In this quarantine, have you enjoyed the most getting thoughtful about how much perspective is actually needed to live a full life, getting closer to your loved ones, or finding out new pages to follow on Instagram?
I would say getting closer to my loved ones. Final answer.
Boy, that was close. A lot of people say Instagram, and that is incorrect. You are correct. The best thing about it is getting close to your loved ones.
Oh my God, yes!
Nikki Glaser, a solid 10 for 10.
Thank you so much.
$1,000 to the K-Fed nanny school. Where are we donating to?
Let's donate it to what's the Feed America? Aren't they doing a lot of good stuff right now?
Feed America?
Feet America, they're just getting foot pictures out to the frontline workers. The ones
Gal Gadot
that
started
them.
That.
Yeah.
She's like, I got to fucking make up for this Imagine shit.
Oh,
man.
My God. That would be amazing. If
all the celebs get their feet.
Just feet for freedom. Yeah, that's really good. feet on the front lines. Footwork to get. Yes. So anyway, Feed America, I think, is the one. Feed.
Okay, great.
F-E-E-D.
Sorry, I definitely didn't hear that, but that makes a lot more sense, and I have heard of that.
But you can see my content on feedamerica.com/Nikki Glaser. I do have a profile up, and I have a solid rating.
There's ratings. Why wouldn't
it's
there
just
be?
Just women that are putting their feet on the American flag, and it's so if you love America and feet, feedamerica.com.
By the way, you're not joking about that. That's combining a lot of people's two favorite things. Patriotism and fucking podiatry.
Yep. I'm just like, I don't use a bunion splint, but to make my toes go the right way, I put a gun in between my two.
Oh, yeah.
My big toe. And then I just, then I just jerk off the gun with my feet. I mean, honestly, that would get so many people going.
All the views.
All the views. And it would feel really good for my feet. Like I should be doing, that's probably a good exercise to do for my bunions.
Yes.
I'll look into it. Feedamerica.com.
Love it. Well, I will PayPal or Venmo that to you and then you can take care of it however you wish.
Really? Thank you, Adam.
Of course. Yeah. And thanks for doing this.
Thank you. That's so nice.
Been fun to watch all the things you have stayed active on tube and online wise. And also great timing for, I mean, your special dropped when? Banging on Netflix.
Last October.
I mean, we're not that far away from that. So
no,
I mean,
it was nice to have it out there right now.
Right? Like you've got to be getting flooded with people.
Yeah, more people are seeing it again for sure. The algorithm has been good to me.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having me. This was
good
so
to see
fun.
You. I'm
yeah,
glad
you too.
You're doing well. Crush on Conan. And I'll talk to
thank
you.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye, Nikki.
Bye, Adam.
Adam Ray here. I used to wake up every morning stuffed and exhausted, like I'd been wrestling my own pillow all night. Pillow fights, table for one. I thought it was stress or age or karma catching up to me. Maybe the melatonin hasn't kicked in. Thanks, Joe. Turns out it was the air in my house. That's when I got Air Doctor, and now it's the only air purifier I use. I can't even say the word right because I'm so excited. Purifier. I heard about it from a friend. Just tried it and immediately noticed fewer weird odors, way fewer allergy issues, and I actually started sleeping better, which is huge because I don't sleep. I travel all the time. It's tough for me to get passed out and get some Z's. I am a problem to myself. Air Doctor is different because it has a powerful 3-stage filtration system that captures particles about 100 times smaller than what actual typical air purifiers can. It gets rid of dust, pollen, bacteria, viruses, odor, smoke, wildfire smoke, and ozone. Basically everything you do not want hanging out in your lungs. It is also whisper quiet, so it's not roaring in the background. It has an auto mode that keeps your air clean all day and night. And it reminds you when to change the filter, which I personally need. And people love it. 98% of customers say their home feels cleaner and healthier. And Air Doctor won Newsweek's Reader Choice Award for Best Air Purifier. Head to AirDoctorPro.com and use promo code ALN to get up to $300 off today. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, plus a 3-year warranty and $84 value free. Get this exclusive podcast-only offer now at AirDoctorPro.com. AirDoctorPro.com, promo code ALN.